Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is just a little fragment of a sermon. Peter's first full sermon in the book of Acts, and this is just a piece, just a part, just a little bit. But it's a part of the sermon that Lutherans love, and Lutherans make a lot out of it. Because Peter preaches law, and Peter preaches gospel, and people repent and are saved. The perfect Lutheran sermon, right? And when Peter preaches the law, it is sharp and it is clear and it cuts like a knife. You killed Jesus, Peter says. And the gospel, it's unexpected and amazing. But God raised him up and made this Jesus whom you crucified both Christ and Lord. And the result is simply life. People repent and are saved. Now you give a little piece of a sermon to a homiletician, that's a guy who teaches preaching, and you're just asking to have a sermon on sermons. You're just asking me to give you a sermon on sermons, to tell you what a sermon should say and what a sermon should do, and then to exhort you to go and say and do likewise. But I'd rather not talk to you as a homiletician today. I'd rather speak to you as a child of God. When I was a child, I remember being lost in wonder as we watched a man make music by touching glass with his finger. We were all there together, our family, my parents, my brothers, sitting in front of a television watching some guest on some show make music out of glass. He had this table set up in front of him, and it was covered with a white cloth, and the table was filled with all sorts of glasses, and the glasses themselves were filled with water to varying degrees, and we watched in wonder as he dipped his fingers in water, and he began to touch the glasses, and each time he touched a glass, it let forth this distinct, beautiful sound. Now, I was a kid, and to my eyes, I couldn't figure out what he was doing. His hands were just going everywhere. It was confusion to me. It was no rhyme or reason. He's touching this, he's touching that. But to my ears, when I listened, I saw it. He was taking this sound and that sound and that sound, and he was joining them together into this beautiful song. But I was a kid, and I was nervous because there at the very corner of the screen was one glass that looked like it was out of reach. It looked like it was completely empty. And I wondered, could this man make that empty glass sing? And he dipped his finger in water and he touched that glass and it let forth the highest, most beautiful note in the song. Now I want you to listen to that text like a child, because you will be lost in wonder at what our God does. Now to do this, you kind of have to see that text differently. You kind of have to look at the very, very corner of the screen. I think the lectionary calls it Acts 2, verse 14a. Peter stood up among the 11 and lifted up his voice. Peter preaches. That's the wonder. That's the wonder that I want you to see today. Now, I'll admit, it really isn't that wonderful that Peter preaches. I mean, we're accustomed to Peter talking. Of all the disciples, Peter is the one who is never at a loss for words, right? There he is up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is having a holy conversation with Moses and Elijah. And James and John, they're having a holy silence in awe, but not Peter. Peter's not at a loss for words. He actually butts in on the conversation. He cuts off Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He says, you know, Lord, I know you're talking with Moses and Elijah, but you know, I just got to say something. It is good. It is really good for us to be here, Lord. And I want to build some booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And Matthew, or Luke, he just kind of shakes his head. He says, Peter doesn't know what he was saying. Up there on the mountain, Peter's not at a loss for words. Out in the ocean, out on the sea, Peter's not at a loss for words. There, deep in the night, in a storm, as the disciples see a ghost coming to them on the water, and they are struck by fear. And this ghost, it speaks, and it says it is Jesus. The disciples are silent in wonder, but not Peter. No, Peter's not at a loss for words. He reaches deep down in him. He pulls out a word of courage, and he says, if it's you, Lord. I don't think it is. But if it's you, Lord, will you tell me to come out to you on the water? Up on the mountain, out on the sea. Never at a loss for words, not even on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Not even then. Though they all fall away, Lord, not me. I will follow you to prison and to death. And that very night, Peter lost Jesus. There in the garden, in the courtyard, he was asked three times if he knew him, and three times Peter said no. He used his words to empty himself of every last drop of Jesus. He is a shell of a disciple. He's an empty glass if I ever saw one, which is what makes this moment so wonderful. You see, it's not about the glass, and it's not about how full or how empty you are. It's all about the one who can touch a glass and make it sing. And that's what we see here. That's what Jesus is doing. He has been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And now he sends forth his spirit, and his fingers are touching all sorts of glasses. He's touching on Old Testament psalms and prophets and making them sing in ways we never knew. And he's touching fishermen and opening their mouths to speak in tongues they never learned, and people opening their ears to hear a new message in an old language. And people are confused. They can't figure out what God is doing. And then they look at Peter, and there you see in the corner of the screen this empty glass, and Jesus touches it and makes it sing. God, by grace, can make any empty vessel sing. Now I know you're frustrated with me because, you know, here we are in a chapel and we've got Peter preaching a sermon and I'm not letting you hear it. I'm not letting you hear anything that Peter says. I know that's frustrating. It's like I'm keeping you in the narthex with the door shut and asking you to just look through the windows. But I'm doing it for a reason, because I want you to see something. I want you to see a whole nother sermon. The very fact that Peter preaches, well, that's a sermon all its own. And anyone who dares to speak for God needs to listen to that sermon. If you stand up as somebody's godparent, if when the youth group is silent and you dare to open your mouth, you visit a friend in the hospital to offer a word before surgery. You call up a friend 5 weeks after his wife has died to see how he's going. Come and listen to this sermon, because God has a word there for you. I've taught homiletics here for 15 years now. And there's one thing I've learned about students. Some of our students are absolutely terrified of public speaking. They are scared to stand up in front of people and preach. And I know that. I know that is true for some of our students. But you know what I believe? And I believe this is true for everyone. Deep down, everyone is afraid to speak for Jesus. Because we know what empty vessels we are. You've got 5 kids at home and you're happy. And you're going to preach at little Ashley's funeral. You're divorced and you're going to preach to us about marriage? You've been lording it over us for years with your wisdom. And today the text is on humility. How can you preach when you're an empty glass? Several years ago, I had a student. It was a fourth-year student in a fourth-year class on homiletics, and this was the last quarter of the year, and he was empty. Empty. The other students of the class, they were full. They were full of excitement. They were going out for their calls. They were nervous about where God was going to send them, but they were full of energy and desire to serve the Lord, but not this one. Because he had decided not to take a call. He had decided to take some time off and just to kind of review everything around here. And all he wanted to do was get his degree. Now to do that, he had to pass this course. And to do that, he had to preach. And the first sermon he turned in to me was absolutely tragic. There wasn't a shred of graciousness in the entire thing. And I called him on it. And we had a conversation, and I said, you know, you've got another sermon, you're going to preach it before the class, and you need to show me that you are competent, that you can take a text, and you can take God's people, and you can preach Jesus to them. And to his credit, he was honest, and he said, I don't think I can do that. And I said, why not? And he said, because sometimes I'm not even sure I know Jesus. He says, you have no idea what this place has done to me. No idea at all. And I reach down inside myself and I look for something to say and I come up with nothing. I am so alone and you want me to speak about Jesus. I can't speak about something that I don't know. And it's like that sometimes, right? Those of you who've been in the ministry, you go into a congregation, you think it's going to build you up, and it tears you down. Bit by bit, it drains you of everything. You come to the seminary, you want to be filled with so much wisdom, and year after year, it's like we take stuff away. Until finally, you're sitting there trying to write a sermon, you reach deep down, and it's completely empty. It's like God has boiled off all of the water and is now asking you, as a homiletician once said, now asking you to preach the stain in the bottom of the cup. Well, I looked at the student. I'll tell you, the first word that came to my mind was a word of law. I almost said to him, you see, this is what happens when you turn inside yourself to find Jesus. Some days you go in there and you come up empty. But I looked at him, and I realized he had lived that sermon. And I didn't need to put my fingerprint on the knife. So what I did was I dipped my finger in water. I said to him, I said, so you sit down to write a sermon, and you go in there, and you just come up with nothing. You know what you might want to do? You might want to let other people preach the gospel for you. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're not alone. God has not left you alone. In baptism, God has joined you to a people. And he has surrounded you with a cloud of witnesses. People who speak of Jesus and speak of Jesus for you. When you can't speak of Jesus, turn to those people. Take a verse from a hymn. Take a quotation from Martin Luther. Take a memory of a Bible story you heard as a child. Take a memory verse you learned in catechism. Take something and let those people preach. For the sermon's not yours, it's God, and He has given us this word to speak. Well, I didn't talk to him then for 2 weeks. He gets up to do his sermon, and I sat down and I prayed for him that the Spirit would help him, but I thought I was going to see a train wreck, right? But I didn't. I was lost in wonder. I kept listening for him to quote from Luther or to quote from a verse from a hymn, and he didn't. He tried to use his own words, and it was rough, and it was raw, and it was painful, but it wasn't empty. It wasn't empty, because Jesus, by the Spirit, can make any empty vessel sing. So when you are feeling empty, when the ministry is draining everything out of you, come to this place and listen to this sermon. Just stand there in the back with the doors closed and look through, because any time you ever see anyone preaching, that itself is a sermon. What God has done, this God, He has taken this Jesus whom we crucified, and He has raised Him and exalted Him and made Him Lord and Christ over all. And this Jesus now rules over the world, and He causes people to sing, empty vessels to sing again and again, poets and prophets and fishermen and farmers and physicians and doctors and lawyers and convenience store clerks. He causes them to sing the gospel for you. So that like a child, you are lost in wonder. And suddenly, you hear your voice begin to sing in endless praise. Amen.